Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the eve of the divisional playoff game with the Washington Commanders, we're taking your predictions. We'll have ours later in the show. Winner and a score. What's going to be the storyline of this game? We got a ton of them coming in via ticket text and via Twitter. Thanks for all of the way that people have responded. We revisit these come Monday and see who came the closest, who nailed it. So what's the winner and a score? And give us a storyline. How do you think it's going to go down? We spent the entire 10 o'clock hour just sort of, you know, offense, defense, you know, how these teams match up. Didn't even really get into the special teams. But it's not a small deal having Khalif Raymond back. That is a big deal. And going into the playoffs this year, I mean, all facets of the Lions special teams, I have more faith than I did a year ago. Going into the postseason.
Yeah, reason to be the best punter in the league, arguably the best kicker in the league, was not on this team last year. Wasn't even kicking the NFL last year, was or he, college for that matter.
Yeah, he was. This was the time a year ago he was selling bricks, right?
Yeah. So then one of the best return guys in the game. And they have excellent special teams coverage units too. I love what the Fipper has done.
Yep. 248-539-9797. So, let's get right back to your phone calls. Mark is in Detroit, and he's on 97.1. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
It's going great.
Great, great. Look, I think Detroit, they're focused, man. They're going to take care of business. Washington's a good team, but I just think we're so focused this year on getting back to where we were and beyond that we're going to take care of business. I'm not concerned at all. It'll be a good game. Lions 38, Washington 17.
Wow. Well, the thing about this team and, you know, the focus, the arrow being pointed to these moments, the goal of securing the first round bye, securing home field all throughout the playoffs, all of that is what motivated them to go 15-2. It all came down to the last week. So here's the goal that they set out, expressed before the season, on the line in the season finale, and they had one of their best performances of the year, and they really took it to Minnesota. So here they are now, reaping the benefits of everything they put into it, and now it crystallizes in a run for the Super Bowl. Like, this is the next goal, and there's been this focus. There's been the rungs on the ladder, the things that they haven't achieved yet, like we've seen so many great Detroit teams do, Pistons, Red Wings, kind of step by step, they get closer and closer, and then they get it done. And so I think that's a real thing. I think it's a real thing.
Yeah, I agree. I got one concern. One concern about this game. My wife, she's 38 weeks pregnant.
No.
My only concern is last drive of the game for the Lions to win. Is it hard water breaks and I can't see it?
Oh boy!
Hey man, just get an Uber ready. You know, have an Uber on standby. You can meet her there, right?
Okay, so here's the deal, Mark.
Uh huh.
She's 38 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
1 week from today, she will be 39 weeks pregnant, and the Lions could be playing in an NFC title game.
And
if the baby is overdue. Mm. They could be playing in the final game of the year.
Yes.
Mark.
That's what she wants because she's from Kansas City.
What do you mean that's what she wants?
If Kansas City doesn't make it, she wants the baby to be born on the Super Bowl, so I'm going to see my Lions play.
Wait.
It's just a fun running joke.
I want to make sure I understand this. She wants the baby to be born on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes, she does.
Oh, Mark.
just mess with me.
Yeah, I hear you, man. That's why I say Uber is great. You know, yeah, Lyft. You want to do Lyft? Maybe mother-in-law's in town.
Relatives in town.
You know, somebody can help with that.
Yeah, they all in Kansas City.
Well, that's now it's all starting to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Mark.
Yeah, good luck indeed. Congratulations.
Was it Spielman that said?
Yep.
It doesn't really have anything to do with Mark's situation, but Spielman thinks that any NFL player, if they are scheduled to have a child during the season, it is sheer irresponsibility.
It's basically what he said. That's a long time ago. He said that on when we were an all news talk station at the time, back in the AM 1270 days. And that would have been mid-90s, I believe, is when he made that comment on the air. I think we all kind of had a good laugh about it. I wonder how he feels, because didn't Taylor Decker's wife just give birth? Is that why Taylor Decker was out the last couple of days?
Patrick Mahomes just had a kid during the bye week. I mean, he's so lucky. He's so lucky. I don't know what he would have done, but they had a first-round bye.
Well, the league would have delayed the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Goodell would have called down and been like, guys, Mahomes having a baby this week. Yeah. They have a bye. Just automatic bye because he's having a baby.
You joke, but it's true. Everything happens for them.
I mean, if the Lions are in the Super Bowl and his wife's water breaks, I mean, he just sends in a substitute, right? I mean, he's not going to the hospital.
I'm telling you, Uber or Lyft. So there's this stat that Warren Sharp from Sharp Football has put out. The Commanders have played man coverage at the seventh highest rate on early downs, 32% since week 12. And on third down, 58%, number four highest rate in the NFL. Last week, it was 67% versus the Bucs. You know who ranks number one in the world versus man coverage? And it says, this guy with a picture of Jared Goff.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. Really, really. He's been good against the blitz.
You know, Minnesota kept doing what Minnesota was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And how'd that work out?
It didn't.
It didn't. Nope. Please, Commanders, keep Goff doing what you're doing.
Goff had some money throws against the blitz in that game against Minnesota. Like, the kind of throws, I don't even know if Minnesota necessarily regrets what they did because it took perfect execution by Goff, but I guess Goff
doesn't have the arm.
He's in a perfect execution kind of place in his career. 248-539-9797. Marty's in Dearborn and next. Hi, Marty.
Hey, guys. Let me take you off a speaker here real quick.
Great idea.
That's a little better. Hey, gentlemen, and Mike told me to use that term loosely.
Okay. Who's Mike?
I'm looking at, first of all, I love seeing the Commanders in town for one basic reason, two reasons, actually. Huh? Fresh meat.
Okay.
Because we've been eating teams lately. Second of all, we got to exercise some demons of the past.
Okay.
So you want the revenge tour from what happened back in
Sammy Baugh days?
Hey, listen, I go back to 1970 and the 5-0 Dallas win, yes, and subsequent games played by the Lions with Dallas, where there's obvious poor. I think the referees were in fear of their lives for calling penalties against Dallas. You know
they're playing Washington, right?
Robbed.
Yeah.
What about?
They're playing Washington.
Yeah, Washington put a thump on us back
Sammy
in the
Baugh
90s. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like we owe them. We owe them a good ass whipping.
I like where your head's at, Marty.
You know, I really do. We owe them a good ass whipping. I'm looking for it to be about 40-21.
I like it.
Washington's going to Washington's going to put some points on the board, but we've got more bullets in our gun. We're going to hang these guys up to dry.
I like it. I like it. You know that Johnny Cash, famous Johnny Cash picture of him holding up the middle finger?
No.
There's a famous picture of Johnny Cash holding up the middle finger. I feel like the Lions should, and maybe I think Marty would appreciate this. I think the Lions should print up T-shirts that say, "Hey, Mark Rippon," with that picture of Johnny Cash with the middle finger, just to satisfy Marty's bloodlust for writing the past wrongs. That's what should happen, right?
Well, that's your marketing idea, and you'll make millions. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you're looking for a new or used car, you got to check out Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. They've got one of the largest inventories in the area, so you're going to find exactly what you're looking for, whether it's a sleek new model or how about one of those reliable pre-owned vehicles. And here's the best part. Guaranteed credit approval. No matter your credit situation, they've got your back. Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is in the perfect spot. They're right there at 696 and Telegraph Road. You can't miss them with that giant flag they have out in front of the property, giant American flag. Making it easy for you to swing by and drive off in your dream car. And if you're short on time, there's no worries. They'll even bring your new ride right to your doorstep with at-home delivery. And if you're into the latest tech, you'll be glad to know that Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is one of the top EV dealers in the country, offering cutting-edge electric vehicles that are setting the standard for the future of driving. And best of all, they're open on Saturdays because they know weekends are the best time to shop for your next car. So stop by and see why Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is the place to go for your next vehicle. Together, let's drive.
So the forecast for tomorrow calls for everybody's favorite wintry mix in the morning.
I like Chex Mix better.
You're a Chex Mix guy?
No, you know, it's just it's better than wintry mix.
My kids went through a Chex Mix phase where every time dad walked into a gas station, "Can you get us some Chex Mix?" And I'm like, "Oh, that medium-sized bag that costs $7?
Well, you got to make it yourself with love. You blend three different kinds of Chex together.
Here's the thing.
Butter and stir it up.
Of course you're 100% right. One thing I've discovered as a parent, and Kang, maybe your kids aren't at this point yet, you can make the best Chex Mix under the sun. In the eyes of your children, a oil drum filled of that Chex Mix isn't as good as the $7 bag out of a gas station. You can make the best chicken wings ever. They don't want those. They want the ones that get delivered to your house for $37. Like they want stuff from stores. They want stuff from restaurants. They don't want your own mix. They don't want dad's mix.
Dude, no one wants a knockoff, Doug.
Well, until they're living on their own budget. But anyway, wintry mix in the morning. Snow showers in the afternoon. Temperatures will get into roughly the 20s. Low overnight is down to 15 degrees. I don't think the weather's going to impact the tailgating much.
No, because by the time you get to the afternoon, yep, there's not really snow. And it'll be colder. The temperature will be dropping, but we're used to that. People make smart clothing decisions. And there's so many places to go downtown. I expect there's going to be a lot of people at the bars and restaurants enjoying themselves all afternoon long. Particularly, you got the early game, too, so people are going to be there to watch the 4:30 game.
There's a Pistons game tomorrow in the afternoon.
Yeah, right. Pistons play at 4 o'clock.
Yep, they moved that up.
Hoping to move up from ninth place. Kansas City and Houston tomorrow, right? Is that the earlier game?
Yeah, that's the early game tomorrow.
So, I mean, that's a pretty big game.
So
people will enjoy it down there.
You put something on your show sheet, and I'm intrigued by this because this is not a move that I'm that familiar with, but then again, I'm not familiar with tailgating. You said, how many people are going to go down there, tailgate, and then go home for the game? Is this a common move?
I don't think it's common, but I think when you get big game atmosphere, sometimes people want to do that. I mean, how many times have you gone to, well, maybe you're the wrong person to ask because you're in the stadium, but if you go tailgating in a Michigan game or a Michigan State game, you'll see a bunch of people as the game starts that are still at their tailgate, or they'll just pack up and leave. They just wanted to tailgate, be part of the atmosphere, be part of the day, and then leave at the appropriate time so they can get home in time. See it all the time.
Yeah, being part of the network, I haven't had a chance to tailgate in quite some time. But I understand being part of atmospheres. I think it's an interesting call. Hadn't given that one a ton of thought.
Yeah, everyone downtown will not necessarily have a ticket, Doug.
No, but when he first started talking about this, I'm thinking of going down there, tailgating, and settling into a bar or restaurant to watch it, right? But going down there tailgating and headed home.
I think the preferred method is that people are going downtown would be to go straight to a bar restaurant and spend the afternoon there. That's their tailgating, the drinking and eating and enjoying it there. And then getting back home for the game or staying there if they can. I mean, if you camp out early, you get your spot and you're at Buffalo Wild Wings or wherever it is you're going to watch the game. Because we're going to have broadcasting crews there. But if that's where you're going to be, if you get a table, you're probably not leaving that table unless you're going into the game. Because that's prime real estate, right?
You got a good spot, yeah.
You know, I wonder, it's got to be like that. At sports bars, I got to imagine people are loving this opportunity tomorrow to host people for this game tomorrow night. And just the NFL playoffs in general. And like I mentioned earlier, it's such a great day for sports tomorrow with the Pistons at 4, and you got the other football game at 4:30. The Red Wings play tomorrow night in Tampa. And Michigan State hockey, both are really good hockey programs right now. And then you got the Lions game. It just seems like this is a game that you lean into it. If you're not downtown, you're at 24 Seconds or you're at Twin Peaks or wherever it is you want to go watch games.
There is some interesting new reporting on Ben Johnson, in pursuit of teams to hire Ben Johnson, Lions offensive coordinator. We'll get to that today at 12:35. Back to your phone calls. Russell is next on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Russell?
Hey, how y'all doing? Good afternoon. Happy Divisional Eve, fellas.
Here we go.
Divisional Eve.
42-19.
Wow. Whoa. Strong.
It's quite strong.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy.
Easy day at the office, huh?
Why do you think it's going to be easy?
Because my coaching staff going to have them ready. Dan Campbell, AG, Ben Johnson, going to have them ready.
Well, they're pretty.
The same Washington team that needed a Hail Mary for them Bears. Although they beat the Bucks, the team we lost to, that's still the same Washington team.
It is the same Washington team. They did actually execute the Hail Mary. And some advice to the Lions. Okay. This is I'm no coach. But if there is a Hail Mary opportunity, I would advise that all 11 defensive players be paying attention to the play.
Exactly. Yeah. Not taunting the crowd.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things you want to make sure you are doing is you are paying attention to the actual play. But Russell, 42-19, we got you down here.
Absolutely. Mark it.
Mark it. It is marked. I will mark it. I am marking it.
Got it down?
I got it down. Predictions, 248-539-9797. A whole bunch of ticket texts have come in with your Lions predictions. Let's get to some of them. Lions 38, Commanders 10. Roger Goodell packs up the Lombardi Trophy and has it shipped to Ford Field. Easy. Lions 34, Washington 17. Story would be Laporta getting two touchdowns and Washington sells out as Washington sells out to try and stop the run. That's from Sean.
See that?
Lions win 32-23. The Lions are up 3 to 6 points the entire game and finally kick a field goal to make it a two-score game. That's from Ron Wixom. I got the Lions winning 31-21, says Jim in Westland. Tim in a truck. Lions win 34-18. The pressure and noise will cause at least 3 false starts throughout the game, and Branch will get a pick six.
Right? She's been a popular name to be brought up to make a big play in the game. Mm-hmm. Do you have an under-the-radar player? I would say like a non-Pro Bowl player. Although it would, but I'll let you include Khalif Raymond if that's the guy that's going to make the big play.
I've got a guy.
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
You got a guy?
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
An under-the-radar non-Pro Bowl player.
That's going to have a big impact in the game.
Kang, you got a guy?
I got a guy.
All right. Should we do the 3-2-1 thing?
I think we should. All
right. I don't think it's going to be the same guys.
No, but that's what makes this exciting. This
makes a big play, all right?
Makes this dangerous.
All right.
Yeah, just last name.
Dangerous broadcast.
You going full name here?
Full name or last name?
Last name. It's
just easy. Last name? Okay.
Okay. 3-2-1.
Melifonwu.
Oh, you guys are best friends.
Yep. So we both said Melifonwu. Who'd you say?
I said Arnold. He's going to get his first pick of the year.
Like it.
Tomorrow night.
Savvy call.
Thank you.
I like it.
What about our time, right?
He'll get overshadowed by Melifonwu's two picks.
Ooh, I hope so. I really do.
I see Melifonwu making a big impact with a tackle for loss. Like, if they set up a bubble screen and he just blows it up, or they set up a screen to Eckler and he blows it up, or Daniels doesn't even see him coming and he comes in with a sack. You know, he knocks the football out of somebody's hand, creates a turnover. He's that impactful player, man. I love Melifonwu.
Dude, his return has really come at a good time for this team. Really come at a good time for this team. Get your predictions in, 248-539-9797. The latest Ben Johnson reporting is interesting. We'll get to that at 1235. Here on 97.1 The Ticket. Bertie Kidd joins us every Friday at this time as he is with the team all week long leading up to, well, huge game tomorrow night at Ford Field. Bertie, as always, thanks for being with us. And I want to start with Scotty Montgomery spoke yesterday, and you wrote a little bit about what he had to say regarding the running back rotation. Dan Campbell said Tuesday, we'll see how the week goes. Ben Johnson said Wednesday, we'll see how the week goes. How'd the week go for David Montgomery?
Yeah, it sounds like it went really, really well. Scotty Montgomery said yesterday they're pretty blown away at how physical he already looks. Only, you know, 3-4 weeks removed from a near torn ACL. And then I caught up with Jahmyr Gibbs in the locker room yesterday, and he was like, dude, it looks like he didn't miss a beat. He's looked great all practice. He looks like he didn't get hurt. And Demo said, while it might have been a little bit tongue-in-cheek, I think he was also – a little bit serious that his knee might feel even better than it did before he got hurt. And so I went into this week thinking that, you know, this is Jahmyr Gibbs' backfield. Like, he has laid claim to it by putting up almost 500 scrimmage yards and 6 touchdowns the past 3 games without Demo. And I think even Demo views it that way. He deferred to Gibbs this week and saying that this is kind of his show now. But listening to the way that Scotty Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs and even Dan Campbell have talked about Demo's recovery and reintroduction this week, I got the feeling that, you know, instead of maybe an 80-20, 70-30 split on Saturday, this is maybe more of a 60-40. And would it shock anyone to see the Lions roll out Demo on the first carry of the game and to see Demo someone on like a 7-yard carry? He's been their tone setter all season. He's usually been their first quarter, even first half running back. Again, I still think Gibbs gets the majority of the carries tomorrow, but I think that split is a little more even than at least I first thought it would be entering this week.
Do you think any of that could just be gamesmanship and you know, trying to trick Washington into thinking there could be an equitable split between the backs when really what they have in mind is just a heavy dose of Jahmyr Gibbs?
A little bit, only that I don't really think Jahmyr Gibbs plays games with the media like that. He's pretty to the point. I don't think he's trying to con anyone. And I don't know, we were just talking one-on-one. It wasn't like there were a bunch of cameras around and he was trying to send a message to D.C. And I get the same sense from Scotty Montgomery that he's pretty true to what he says. I don't think he'd be up there blowing smoke. Now, maybe that changes in the playoffs, but those sounded like pretty sincere comments yesterday. And again, they just view David Montgomery as as you guys know, like the embodiment of the team and the offense. And I just don't think I'd be surprised to see Demo get the first carries tomorrow night, and then Gibbs get more of them as the game goes on.
Huge story on the front page is obviously the game. On page two is Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. There's reporting today that Las Vegas may have started to look at Pete Carroll.
Oh,
Is there any chance that either of these guys stay? What's the sense in the building?
Yeah, you know, I think as I've just kind of poked around that Ben Johnson to the Raiders seems to have serious legs. It wasn't even a possibility when we spoke here last week, and then Tom Brady puts on the recruiting pitch and he vouches for Ben Johnson. The Raiders interview him and are now said to be enamored with him, which isn't surprising. You can imagine how well Ben Johnson would present in an interview, and he certainly has face of the franchise qualities. So I felt like last week there was a better chance that Ben Johnson would be back, but the Raiders and Tom Brady specifically getting involved make me wonder if he ends up in Las Vegas. And then I still think that Aaron Glenn is destined for New Orleans. I know the Jets are real players here too. I think one of those two teams is his destination.
Is there any more juice for Ben Johnson this week because of what happened last year with the Washington football team coming after him and wanting him to be the guy and in mid-flight, and he's like, you know what? No, I don't want that job. And then he can just say, this is why I didn't want the job, because we want to crush you.
Yeah, I feel like it would be more juice on the Commander side of things, right? I mean, you spurned us in midair. You said we weren't good enough for you, and maybe even thought that Jaden Daniels wasn't a good enough quarterback for you, so we're going to prove you wrong. I don't know if Ben Johnson could prove them wrong, I guess, other than beating them by like 80 and proving that, see, you do suck without me. It hasn't come up all that much, and I think he dodged the question when asked about it on Wednesday. Aaron Glenn entertained far more head coaching future questions than Ben Johnson did, but they are both locked in right now on this game, and as you guys said, that's the front page news for sure.
All right, so the plan to slow down Jaden Daniels, I was kind of, you know, everything I've done in preparing for this game, including a look back at the San Francisco game a year ago in the NFC title game, because I'd watched the Tampa and the Rams game again, but everything, it reminded me that Brock Purdy had a massive third down conversion on their kill shot drive where he was dead to rights in the backfield, broke a tackle, went for 21 yards. Jaden Daniels is
third down, right?
Yep. Jaden Daniels is more capable of that kind of stuff. Yeah. What's the plan?
Yeah, you know, so I took that question to the two most important or the two most central figures of this Lions defense this week, to the linebackers, Jack Campbell and Alex Anzalone. And they both had different answers when they singled out the key to trying to defend Jaden Daniels. Jack Campbell went right to the fact that this game is going to come down to eye discipline, because the Commanders offense, in some ways similar to that 49ers offense, just runs so much pre-snap motion, and their goal is really to confuse you so that their rookie quarterback can make simple throws. He said, you know, once you remove the window dressing of this offense, it's a pretty straightforward passing attack in terms of the routes they run. Now, they're a little bit more diverse on the ground. Obviously, Daniels is a part of that. But Campbell said it's just about our eye discipline and sifting through everything they want to confuse us with pre-snap. If we do that, he thinks they should be fine. He thinks we'll even have chances to make plays on the quarterback in the pass game. Now, Anzalone said a little bit differently. Like, there's been so much talk this week about you have to crush the pocket when you rush a quarterback like Daniels. You have to cage him in, right? And they talked about that a ton before that game against the Bills, too. And then Josh Allen inevitably escapes, and he made his biggest plays in the air outside the pocket. And so Anzalone said, look, like, he's going to get out. It's inevitable. Whether you rush with discipline every play or not, because he's so athletic and elusive, he's going to find his way out of the pocket. The game to Anzalone will be won or lost on those plays. What do we do when he's out of the pocket? He said, you know, this is me paraphrasing, but like, the Lions can afford those 10 to 12 yard runs, those scrambles by Daniels. What they can't afford are those 30 to 40 yard throws downfield when he's out of the pocket. So when he escapes, everyone in the secondary has to plaster their guy in man coverage. And if you're in zone, he said, you better go find someone, because that's where Daniels can really hurt you. So eye discipline and then avoiding those explosive kill shots in the air if and when he escapes the pocket.
So looking at his number one target, that's Terry McLaurin, who's an outstanding receiver. He wins most of those 50-50 balls. He comes back to the football. He's great. Yeah. The Lions, do you get the sense that they're just going to stick with their man-to-man coverage and put Amik Robertson on him, or are they going to give him a little bit more help and say, you know what, yeah, that and a safety is going to be paying a lot more attention to him because that's the guy we got to stop outside of Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I totally agree, first of all. I think the Lions' defensive success comes down to whether or not they contain McLaurin. I think Daniels, to kind of echo Anzalone, is going to get his one way or another, but if you let McLaurin feast along with him, I think that's where you end up in trouble. In fact, if you look at some of their numbers, I think they were 7-1 this year when McLaurin makes more than five catches, and I think 10-2 when he had more than 60 receiving yards, obviously a career high, NFC high, 13 touchdowns. He is their true big play threat in the air. I think he had as many 40-yard catches as J-Mo did this season, just to put it into context. And I think they cover him in a similar fashion to the way they covered Jefferson. Obviously, it was Amik Robertson playing tons of man coverage, but there were also safeties shaded Jefferson's way so that, you know, Robertson was able to play press man, knowing that, you know, in most cases he had help at least shifted towards his side of the field. But I think McLaurin is the X factor in terms of the Lions' defensive success tomorrow night.
All right, look, obviously we got a huge game, but you wrote something on the website that would have been a big story at some point during the season and maybe in the future. Max Crosby said what, and is it significant?
Yeah, well, Max Crosby, he was just on Good Morning Football this morning on NFL Network, and he was asked, as a Michigan native, someone who was born and raised here, what he thinks of this Lions run. And he was like, you know, I'm kind of mad at them. You know, I spent my whole childhood waiting for this team to win and watching them lose. And, oh, now you want to go be Super Bowl contenders when I'm playing for a different team halfway across the country? And he said, you know, he's been selfishly kind of jealous watching them from afar. But he also said in talking with some former teammates who now play for the Lions in Amik Robertson and Pat O'Connor, they keep telling him, man, I just hope one day you get the chance to be in the locker room with Coach Campbell. He's incredible. And when Max Crosby recounted the story, it certainly sounded like he was speaking for himself too. And look, who knows? I know that was a huge topic going into the trade deadline. It wasn't feasible at that point, I think, for either team. But I do wonder, as the Raiders get set to hire their fourth head coach and fourth GM in the past 5 years, which is insane, that maybe they're due for a major reboot. And maybe that means shaking the organization to its core in terms of their player personnel and shopping a player like Max Crosby. And if so, perhaps the Lions come calling. So, I know that Max Crosby would love to play here. You can hear it in his voice, but we can revisit that in the off season.
F them picks. I'm just saying.
that's right.
That's how I think we all feel at this point. Will, I know you're always extraordinarily well prepared. You're a guy who loves to dig into the numbers. What's the statistic that you're dying to get out there? You can tell us on the air. I know you're going to have it tomorrow in the on the TV pregame show. What do you got? I know you got something big. You always do.
That's a great question. Well, here's a couple for you. Jaden Daniels has been dynamite this season in two capacities, against man coverage and also against the blitz. And obviously those are staples of Aaron Glenn's defense. But even more so, Jared Goff against man coverage this season, 22 touchdowns and zero interceptions and a passer rating that's darn near perfect. And while the Commanders don't play quite as much man as the Lions, because really no one does, they play a lot, and it's a chance tomorrow for Jared Goff to shine again. He was great last year in the playoffs. I would expect nothing different this year. And then just one more anecdote for you guys. You know, when I was talking with Gibbs yesterday, I revisited this idea that he began lifting with Demo this year for the first time. And he admitted, you know, I kind of slacked off lifting weights before. I really just got by on speed and talent alone. And this year he was walking into the building with Demo one day, and this is early in the season, and Demo said, hey, you want to squat together? And Gibbs said, sure. And ever since then, they've been squatting as a duo. They have squatting competitions. They have a machine in the Lions weight room that tracks how quickly, like to the millisecond, you can squat and get from, you know, the floor to raising the bar. And so they've been going back and forth all season. And Gibbs said, you know, I'm a lot stronger than I was before. And I asked him if there was a run this year where he has felt that strength. And he pointed right to his goal line carry against the Vikings. If you guys remember, I think his third touchdown, he pushed the pile by himself. Usually you see like Penei Sewell come in and give you the final propellant. That was all Jahmyr Gibbs against like four Vikings defenders just on sheer leg strength. And so I think tomorrow night we'll see that strength along with that speed show up in the second half, you know, late third quarter, fourth quarter. He's got fresh legs, strong legs, and the fact that he is now lifting and squatting with Demo is a big reason why.
All right, where can people catch you tomorrow?
Well, you can catch me on Fox 2 in the morning at 10. You can catch me at B-Dubs with Rieger and Mark Ryan. He would love to be named Mark Ryan, wouldn't he? Mark Ryan from 2:30 to 3. And then again on Fox 2, 6:30 to 7:30. And then on Sunday at a bar near you.
I'll see you tomorrow night, buddy.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See ya.
There he is, Lions insider, the Birchie Kid, who joins us every Friday here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, it is getting cold. If you saw the future forecast, you know temperatures are getting bitterly cold in the single digits, overnight lows in the minus numbers. Whew, I hope your furnace is working. If it's not, if it's giving you any issues whatsoever, make sure you call the people that can fix the problem. The people in the red, white, and blue trucks that you see everywhere, it's Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Look, I've had issues in the past with stuff that I needed them to come out and check out, and they came out immediately. They were awesome. Don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau. How about some of those five-star reviews they have on Google? They got it all. So whether it's your furnace or your water heater, maybe you got a boiler or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing and Heating and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. Thanks to the Birchie Kid. You can see him tomorrow on Fox 2 at 10 a.m. on our station from 2:30 to 3:30. Back on Fox 2, 6:30 to 7:30. So Lion is insider and joins us every Friday. Hopefully that means next Friday. Hopefully it means the Friday after and the Friday after. Let's hope.
That would be nice.
Yep. Let's get back to your open line calls. AJ is on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, AJ?
Hey, I got a two for now. I got Chip with me. I'm going to say 21-14. The Lions are going to play Eat the Clock. Here's Chip.
And I believe it's going to be 28-24 Lions.
Okay, hold on for a sec, AJ and Chip. Let's start with AJ. 21-14.
Yes.
21-4. This is a low-scoring affair.
Yeah, the only thing I'm thinking about is if our two running backs break free and eat up the clock quicker because they break free and they can't contain our Sonic and Knuckles. But if they do it right, like the Lions are smart, they're just going to eat the clock and keep the ball away from that rookie.
Just three scoring drives, though, huh?
I guess, the thing about that is I don't think the Lions, this isn't Michigan versus Alabama where eating the clock makes sense. This is, the Lions are the high-powered offense. I would be awfully disappointed if their game plan going in was to eat the clock and shorten the game.
Well, if they eat the clock and shorten the game, they're still going to score points because in the NFL, I mean, it's just the way the NFL works. You don't have 9 minute drives. Even if you drive 80 yards for a touchdown, you're eating up 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
I buy that. Well, we'll see. Mark it, like the guy said.
All right, it's Mark. So, let's talk to Chip here. Let's talk to Chip. Put Chip on.
Yes, I feel like that the Lions, you know, they average around 32 points. So I feel like they're going to get like 28 or right around what their average is. And it's all about containing that quarterback. If we contain their quarterback, I feel like we can hold them to where we get a 4-point or a field goal win, because that team can score two.
AJ, if they only score 14 points, I think it's a safe assumption they contain the quarterback.
I agree. Yep.
All right, thanks.
I love that Bertie kid, too.
Oh, we all do. He's the best. How we feel about this? Two guys on one phone call.
I thought it was well done, actually. I was a little afraid it was going to be father-son. So you have somebody with a really high-pitched voice, because way too young to be on the air. But it wasn't the case.
No.
They handed the phone in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. He was right there.
Yep.
I like it.
I think more sketchy is the 21-14, because they were going to want to eat the clock.
But King, you had a concern about the two guys in the call.
Oh, they sounded similar.
They did.
I thought we had a Martin
a
issue.
Yeah, I wondered if it was a Martin and Martin kind of thing. I could tell them apart a little bit.
He didn't change his voice a little, did he? Like, it wasn't one of, he didn't trick us.
Oh,
he already tricked this morning.
And he didn't say my boys.
Okay.
No. We didn't think it was one schizophrenic caller?
No. I hope not.
Guys, I got two personalities. They both want to give you their sense of what's going to happen. The
two nationalities.
Matt, St. Clair Shores. What's up, Matt?
Hey, happy Friday, boys.
Is it just you, Matt?
so I got a 41-29 score.
Wow.
I think it's going to be relatively uneventful in that I think the Lions are going to pretty much handle the game for the most part. I think when the Washington Foot Commanders are going to want to do their hurry up kind of stuff, I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be able to communicate, regardless of how loud they've been practicing in Washington. I think if this game doesn't rival or beat that Bears game that we always refer to, this is kind of putting us into the pacification kind of where we're getting placated. But really, I think we'll be up, 21-7 going into halftime, 28-14 going into the fourth quarter. I think they're going to score a little bit in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to go for two, and then I think the Lions are going to get a pick six or a scoop and score as the Commanders are trying to like mount that comeback in the fourth quarter. My guy Kirby Joseph, he's a ball hawk. I hope he gets one and he takes it home. The weirdest stat is the only cornerback on the Lions with a pick is Carlton Davis. Otherwise, it's all been safeties. So that's the biggest anomalation that we have going on.
A total anomaly.
So, and we have the least amount of pass interference called for us in the league also. So I think that's going to kind of waterfind this level, like you like to say, Doug. And I think we're cruising to the Rams next week. So enjoy your hand, boys.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You bring up something that we haven't talked about yet, and that is Ron Torbert is the lead official. And 19 defensive pass interference called this year is a little bit more than average. But last week, the officiating crew that flagged the most DPIs, or 2 weeks ago, and it really wasn't a factor in the game. They let him play. Torbert is a Michigan State graduate.
Is there any relation to Ron or to a Kelvin?
I've seen Jaden Daniels, especially a lot of his college tape, he throws the ball behind the receivers. Like, they have to come back to it, or they – like, if you look at a lot of the highlights, his receivers are coming back to the ball, so that doesn't always bode well for us. So I think with the loudness, with him kind of getting that clock in his head that we did with Hey Darnold, I think we're gonna have a day, boys.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the phone call.
Torbert graduated from Michigan State and attended Harvard Law School. Look at this guy.
No.
From Youngstown, Ohio.
Impressive.
He wasn't the janitor at MIT or anything as well, was he?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay.
No, I didn't see that part.
Next semester, okay, they'll be teaching you. You're regurgitating.
I'm going to guess here this is a movie
Gordon Woods.
what's this in reference to?
Do you know who Matt Damon is?
Yes.
Okay.
You like apples?
Yeah, what's that movie?
It's Good Will Hunting.
Okay. Who's the janitor? What's the janitor?
Right? It was Will Hunting, but they're talking to Harvard kids. Yeah. And so, yeah, sorry. I was talking to Gator, not you.
By the way, is there a worse made-up name and a character for a movie that's supposed to be a serious movie than Will Hunting? So that you can have the title of the movie, Good Will Hunting? The movie is so good, the script is so good, and the title is ridiculous.
You don't like the name, huh?
Come on.
Dude, there's a character in Severance named Balf.
All right. Here we go.
He's really trying to push Severance on you, man.
We were 2 hours and 56 minutes into the show. If you had under three hours for a severance reference from Doug, you win.
There were no severance references yesterday for me. Valeni started it.
Just saying.
Dude, Balf. There's a Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Not Rebecca. Rebecca. She made that clear. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.